Well, friends, we're looking in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian churches, and we've been going through that book, and you notice it says in your bulletins, Galatians 5:16 through 6:10, and I looked at that and thought about that, prayed about that throughout the week, and we're going to lop off 10 of those verses, so it'll be Galatians 5:16 through the end of the chapter, that's through 26, and I'll probably circle back and do a little bit of chapter 6 after next Sunday night. Next Sunday night, we'll kind of close out the book, but then we'll go back again the week after. And then there's a certain portion of chapter 6, 5 through 10 or 6 through 10 or so, that I'll save for Stewardship Sunday next year. And I have to remember that somehow, so every once in a while, just remind me of that when we're in the narthex or something, okay? Just so you know that's down the road, and that's why we're reading a little bit less tonight. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, the to-do list. I was first introduced to the to-do list when I was about 17. Now, don't get me wrong. My mom and dad made lists of things for me to do around the house regularly from the time I was a little boy. Chores, little jobs, things that I had to do growing up. We just never called them to-do lists back then. So when I saw the words to do on my varsity basketball coach's clipboard that was sitting on his desk one day as he was taping my sprained ankle to get ready for basketball practice, it caught my eye. The words to do at the very top of the page. I can still picture his handwriting. But really, it was what was scribbled below the to-do title that I managed to get a look at. Now, you might think it was a list of things the coach, who was also the dean of students, by the way, had to do that day. Ordinary things that he didn't want to forget on a given day. Number one, lead staff devotion, 7:45 a.m. Number two, get the nets out for the volleyball gym class. Number three, make sure to call Mrs. Taylor about her son who was kicked out of class. Things like that. But under this to-do title and line on the top of the page, there was no list. As I said, there was something, though, scribbled there underneath this particular to-do list that was very important to Coach Greenfield. I found out that this was actually not a to-do list after all. It started off that way, but it became an autograph of sorts. And it read like this: thanks for the interest, coach. And the person who wrote that to my coach signed it, John Wooden. My coach simply kept the first page of that clipboard first so we could look at, read, savor, and cherish that autograph and words of encouragement from one of the greatest college basketball coaches who ever lived, UCLA's John Wooden, a record 10 NCAA titles, named NCAA College Basketball Coach of the Year 6 times, led the NCAA Bruins men's basketball program during his time there to a record of 663 wins to 162 losses. He won 80% of the games he coached. He was and is a GOAT, as they say, greatest of all time. So this wasn't a to-do list. It was simply the clipboard and the start of a to-do list that my coach happened to have on him that day when he met John Wooden and got his autograph. But Scripture has a lot of to-do lists. The Apostle Paul tells us many of them, and others. They come in a couple of different varieties. There are things you shouldn't do, things not to do, to-do lists, and there are things you should do, ways you should be, to-do lists. So two varieties, don't do this, but do this. I want to give you a peek at Scripture's to-do lists. First, the not-to-do lists. Here's a sample. Where they're found. Look at them all. This is not exhaustive. There are more. But from here in Galatians 5 over to Romans, Mark even records a not-to-do list given by Jesus himself. The rest are Paul's, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write them. Those are all his letters, except the last ones from the book of Revelation and the Apostle John. Now, do you want to see the actual lists? Here is your not-to-do list. Are you ready to take some notes on this? Ready, set, go. Did you get all that? That's about 150 not-to-do things in 12 seconds. So let's slow that down a bit, just a bit. You'll see there are some repeats, and I want you to just reflect on all the things you are seeing not to do. So here we go. that's a lot. A lot of repeats, but boy, that's a lot. More than one per second still takes over 2 minutes. And that's not all. That's the not-to-do lists. There are a bunch of to-do lists also in God's Word. Right here in Galatians, again, is one of them. That fruit of the Spirit list, the big nine, right here in Galatians. But again, they are all over Scripture, courtesy of the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit, and in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, no less. We've got one there, too. See that, Matthew 5? So here is the to-do list. Now, it's a little shorter. I wonder if the Apostle Paul put the Galatians 5 lists, the not-to-do list and the to-do lists, side by side here together so that the Galatian Christians, remember, who really thought they could somehow earn their own salvation by exactly following every single command from God and in God's Word, we can do this. Sheer willpower, practice every single day. Practice makes perfect. If we do this over our whole lifetime, at the end we'll have accomplished every last one of these things, and God surely will look at us and know that we are worthy in His eyes. I wonder if Paul stuck these massive lists together, 5:19 to 21 and 5:22 to 23, to one more time get it through the Galatian Christians' heads that it simply can't be accomplished. They'll never be able to do it. I wonder. Because these really are, let's be honest, well, we might want to rename them because these to-do lists are really the easier said than done lists, aren't they? Easier said than done. You got about 15 lines in, and you're thinking, wow, there's no way I can do these things. I can read them and say them out loud and commit myself to them, but man, are you kidding me? These are definitely easier said than done. You've heard that phrase, of course. Easier said than done reminds me of President John F. Kennedy in one of his most inspirational speeches made to a joint session of Congress on May 25, 1961. In the middle of the speech, he gave us an easier said than done moment. I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth. No single space project in this period will be more impressive to mankind or more important for the long-range exploration of space, and none will be so difficult or expensive or to accomplish. Congress must have been thinking, wow, that is easier said than done, Jack. Put a man on the moon? It took over 8 years and 400,000 people to achieve that goal. It truly was easier said than done. Friends, these lists Paul gives us here are easier said than done lists. I'm sure you know that's true. I know it's true. I look at my life and I compare it to, well, let's just take the fruit of the Spirit to-do list. I need my life to be filled, blossoming, harvesting a cornucopia of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah, that's just not happening by me. No amount of moral resolve, redoubled effort, ability, striving, willpower, whatever you want to call it, will enable me to live up to these 3 minutes of lists we watched. Just take one, a big one, loving others. What if on a given day, I don't feel like it? no desire or motivation whatsoever. Even on a good day, much less on a rotten day when maybe that person I'm supposed to love has spoken harsh words to me, has made a thoughtless comment, has taken sides against me, when I'd rather bite and devour that person, as verse 15 says it. That would be so much more satisfying, biting and devouring, than showing love to that person. So I'm just supposed to suck it up and by sheer force of will, love them as I love myself. Yeah, that'll happen. This passage is so discouraging. The Apostle Paul is so discouraging here. I don't have the ability to love others as I ought. And guess what? No amount of inner resolve or mustering of morality or redoubling my efforts at sincerity and good intentions is going to get me there. So the Apostle Paul makes it clear. You're right. You're not going to be able to make that happen. So I say, verse 16, Paul, that is, walk by the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. The only way you're going to be able to accomplish anything on these massive lists is if you're walking by the Holy Spirit. Take love again. Love comes from outside us. Paul knows it. God is love, 1 John 4:8. Love comes from God through the Holy Spirit to us. Unless God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to love others as we ought. You realize what Paul is saying here and doing here. He is saying we will never be able to do these to-do lists, these lists that truly are easier said than done. We will never be able to, let's use the one that summarizes them all, love. We will never be able to love as we ought without the reality of verses 16 through 26. What is that reality? These to-do lists might be impossible for us, easier said than done. We may be totally insufficient in following these lists. No, there's no may. We are totally insufficient. But guess what Paul says here? The Holy Spirit is totally sufficient. And what we need to do is rely completely on the Holy Spirit. Paul says it a few times in different ways. Verse 16, we got to walk by the Spirit. Verse 18, we got to be led by the Spirit. Verse 25, we got to live by the Spirit. Verse 25 again, we got to keep in step with the Spirit. Follow his lead, that is. In the passage, Paul tells us about the flesh, our old sinful nature, and about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. They're locked in conflict. But the Holy Spirit is always victorious. First, he is sufficient to overcome the flesh. Verses 16 and 17. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's a promise of victory over the flesh, our sinful nature, in our daily lives. You walk by the Spirit, and you will in no way, not a chance, you will absolutely not fulfill the desires of the flesh, our sinful nature. Now, you know, I'm sure, that the sinful nature is strong. But right here, we are told, guess who's stronger? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit ensures our victory over the flesh. The battle doesn't end in a stalemate, in a tie. No. The Spirit is the victor. Always, when we yield to the Spirit, we ourselves will triumph over the flesh. Resisting the sinful nature is not about willpower. It is about the Holy Spirit's empowerment. And it's not even that we're overcoming the desires of the flesh with the Holy Spirit's help. No, the Spirit wins the victory. We simply march under his banner. We follow him in victory. So you wake up tomorrow in your struggle against the flesh, the sinful nature, all those crummy things plastered on the screen before, and maybe for the first time, you tell the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I am confident that you are sufficient to be victorious in the battle against my sinful nature. You are sufficient, Holy Spirit. I'm not. Help me to march under your banner.
That's a prayer. That's a daily prayer. The Holy Spirit, secondly, is sufficient to avoid the curse of the law. Paul says in verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You are not under, that is, the curse of the law. You are not heading for divine judgment against your sin. You are headed for an end of time reward from your Father in heaven. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you and is sufficient for you to avoid the curse of the law. But you have to walk in step with the Spirit. You do that, and he produces that harvest of fruit in you. But the warning here is, the warning is clear too. You walk out of step with the Spirit, you are succumbing to the flesh, to the sinful nature, and the curse of the law is heading towards you in judgment. How vital to walk in step with the Spirit then. And third, the Holy Spirit is sufficient to empower us to fulfill the law. He gives us the fruit, starting with the fruit of love, which is mentioned first. It's in pole position. The Spirit fills us with that love, that fruit. And about that fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit grows in us, Paul says, against such things, there's no law. The law is fulfilled in the fruit of the Spirit, that the Spirit grows in us. The Spirit is sufficient to fulfill the law. The Spirit is sufficient to do all these things, to overcome the flesh, to avoid the curse of the law, and to fulfill the law. So what do? We walk by the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. He is sufficient to do these things, not us. Not us at all, the Spirit working in us. That's good news, of course. Maybe you're a legalist. You know, you think, I got to obey every single command of God and get them totally right for God to love me. And you're thinking, well, I'm doing pretty well. Well, the bad news is that's impossible for you to do, even if you think you're winning at it. But the good news is it's not impossible for the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, maybe you've figured that out, and you're kind of let's call you a moralist. You realize you're just not very good at following all those rules. You're not proudly thinking you're pretty close. Rather, deep down, you're pretty depressed about being such an abysmal failure at it. Good news, the Holy Spirit is the victor, and all you have to do is walk with him. Or maybe you know you're a hypocrite about this whole thing. You keep it all looking nice on the outside, and you're just hoping no one ever pulls back the curtain to discover who you really are. Good news. What pulling back the curtain reveals is that the Holy Spirit is entirely sufficiently getting it all exactly right. Listen, God, not you, not me, God has done what needs to be done to put us in good standing in our warfare against the sinful nature. God did it. Gave us Jesus. And when you trust in him, when you put your faith in him, faith that the Holy Spirit gives you, by the way, when you put your faith in Jesus, you are crucified together with Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 20 of Galatians. Your flesh, your sinful nature, with all its passions and desires, crucified as Jesus hung on the cross. And to top it all off, you're raised to new life. Guess who that's with? The Holy Spirit. You live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit as he lives in you. You walk by faith, faith in Christ. But when you walk by faith, that's walking by the Spirit. God is pouring his Spirit into our lives. Someone texted me this week from this church. They remembered 2 years ago. Out of the blue, they texted this. They remember 2 years ago a sermon I preached, a sermon on the Holy Spirit, and they distinctly remembered, they drove home together, and on the way home that day, 2 years before, they looked at each other and said the main truth of the sermon to each other. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And they texted, Pastor, our lives have been changed ever since. Praise God, they said. That's who lives in us, beloved. Back in Ezekiel, mind you, in Ezekiel, Old Testament, one of our elders reminded me of this as he led devotions at a meeting this week. Back in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27, the writer of the devotional wrote about this and asked, was it even possible for the people of Israel on their own to reveal the holiness of God to the nations? And the sad fact was that it was completely impossible for them to do so. But then the writer reminded us of Ezekiel 36, verse 27, where God says, I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws. Old Testament. We can't do the easier said than done lists. We just can't. But because of Jesus' work on the cross, yes, indeed, and also because the Father and the Son, 50 days later, poured out the Holy Spirit upon the early church. The Holy Spirit comes to live in us by the faith he gives us. He can do every easier said than done list ever devised by God. Of course he can. He's God himself. And it's our job to keep in step with him. Here's how. Pay attention. Here's how. Listen to how one commentator put it. God has chosen to honor his Son by joining, listen, by joining the giving of the Holy Spirit to the receiving of the Word of Christ. You want to do the easier said than done lists, the to-do lists, you keep in step with the Spirit, and to do that, you feed upon the Word of Christ, God's Word. By faith. It satisfies us. It keeps us far less likely to be distracted by the old sinful nature trying to claw into us one last time with its passions and desires. You feed on God's word to experience the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Daily nourishment from God's word. And as we read it, we treasure Christ and we trust in Christ, and the Holy Spirit, who always defers to Christ, listen, loves to see us doing that and empowers us to follow his lead, to keep in step with him. So simple. Daily nourishment in the Word of God. That ought to be at the top of all our to-do lists. And the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. Oh, and by the way, every time you look at the Word, read it, savor it, cherish it, listen, you're looking at the autograph of the true goat, the true greatest of all time. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for giving us through your Holy Spirit the faith to believe in Jesus Christ. And thank you that walking by the Spirit to follow him and keep in step with the Spirit. You've told us what to do. Be nourished by the Word of God each day. That's where we meet Jesus, and that's how the Spirit will always lead us and be victorious for us over our sinful nature. put that at the top of our to-do list. To feed on your word. Put that at the top. The beginning of our day. To feed on your word. So we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In his name we pray. Amen.